Well, then get your Bibles out. I want you to go to Psalms 23. Man, let me show you how uptown we're getting around here tonight. Man, look at this. We have an official choir book coming up on the Christmas singing. How about that? We're big time around here. Man, I'm telling you. I want to see the robes next. No, not really. I'm joking. Did I tell you where to go? Psalms 23. That's right. This morning I woke up early, and it's so, you know, God is blows me away. I've tried to teach y'all this, and I don't know how many of you do this, but don't raise your hand if you don't, or look at the floor if you don't. Don't discourage me tonight, but I have my daily reading I read, and I learned a long time ago that what works for me is I read one Old Testament chapter, one Psalm, one Proverb, one Gospel, and one Epistle, and I read it all the way through. Like, you know, if I'm reading, like right now I'm in the book of Leviticus, one of my favorite books of the Old Testament. And so I'm reading, you know, I'm in Leviticus 3 and then Psalms 23 is where I hit this morning. And then I was in John 16 and then I think I was in 2 Corinthians. And so anyway, so every morning I read my chapters. That's just what I do. It's my own habit. Just read just for me, just study them. And so I woke up early this morning and I didn't realize that my daily reading today was going to be Psalms 23. Just happened to fall there in my rotation back around 15th time I read the Psalms in this Bible. I mark my little Bibles and I X them off how many so I know where I'm at so that way I can just keep my own little reading going through. And so anyway, I woke up early this morning and the first thing the Lord said to me, just resounded in my heart was Jesus, the restorer of your soul. And so I was thinking about this song, Jesus, the lover of my soul. And so I thought, well, I wonder if that was, you know, the song. And I was thinking, and then this came back again. Jesus is the restorer of your soul. And so I said, well, Lord, you know, yeah, that, you know, yeah, you know, right. You know, but it's early in the morning. I don't do early mornings too well. And so I get on up and go, you know, make the coffee. And then I sat down to do my daily reading. And I started laughing because it was Psalms 23 I was on. And so I start reading Psalms 23, you know, and let's just read it here. It says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And it was like the Lord was speaking to me about humanity and about how he wants to restore our souls. It's like high priority for Jesus to restore our souls. Because through this life and everything we're going on in this life and everything that's taking place, our souls get damaged. Okay? Now, your souls are all that part. I don't want to split hairs and, you know, argue the Freudian theory of the soul and all this kind of stuff like this. But the soul is that part of you that gets hurt, gets wounded, gets in unforgiveness, gets in bitterness, gets in confusion, gets discouraged, gets in anxiety. That part of you in life that, you know, whatever's going on, somebody has, you know, got to you in a business deal, or somebody's said something ugly about you, or you're just got problems with the neighbors, or whatever. And there's something down on the inside of you that's troubling you. That's your soulish area, okay? And mixed up in that is your mind, your intellect, your emotion, your personality. All that's mixed up within there. It's all wound up and tied up in there like roots at the bottom of a tree, you know, they're just all wrapped up in there. And so it's hard to split them. But that's not really my point. My point is that there's a lot of humanity out there, us included, that has had damage to their soul that's never been repaired. And so therefore they're going around in life, whether they're saved or unsaved, and they're wounded and they're hurting. And Jesus cares about people like that. And Jesus wants to restore people's souls. Sometimes people who are just ugly are not ugly because they were born ugly. They're ugly and mean because life has made them ugly and mean. okay, damage in their soul. God wants to restore them. He wants to come into their life and restore them. And so, I was just thanking the Lord about this. And let's read it on, because it's just this is a good Psalms anyway. And he says, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Tracy, just mark this tape down as Jesus, Restorer of My Soul, and then I'll figure out what really the title is going to be later. Because I feel like this is going to be something that we're going to minister on for a few weeks. For two reasons. One is to help you be restored in your soul. And the second one is so you can help others be restored in their souls. Amen? Now I want to start reading here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm just going to start in verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling of the word of God deceitfully, nor by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if this gospel is veiled, it is veiled from those who are perishing. Now here we go, verse 4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. Now stop right there. How did the devil get the people to perish? What did Jesus say? He blinded them, right? How did he blind them? What was the blinding? What was the blinding that he did to them? Look what it says. He caused them to not believe. Isn't it interesting that Beelzebub, the devil, his main attack upon humanity is to try to keep you from believing in God. And when he does that, you become blind. Think about this. He is more worried about you producing faith and believing in God than anything else. So then everything that comes your way in this life that damages your soul is about doing something to you to get you off base so that you're not believing God. Whatever the offense is, whatever the problem is, whatever the situation is, whatever is, even if it's the smallest thing that you just get mad and say, God, why are you doing this? This isn't right. And you're mad at God, so you don't want to talk to him. Well, see, he's got you. And he's starting to blind you. And he said, if you stay blinded long enough, you perish. I just preached a great message on perishing, 5 ways not to perish. All he's trying to get you to do is to just get into doubt. He's just trying to get you to fall over and say, God's not going to bail me out. It's not going to work. He's not going to restore my soul. He's not going to fix anything. He's not going to heal anything. He's just trying to get you to just cross over to his side. You don't have to go very far. Just get on the other side of the line and just be in doubt. Doubt about everything. Folks, listen to me. This world right now, I'm not that old that I've been taking account of what's going on in the world, but this world right now is in more fear than ever before that I in my adult life have seen. Everything's, have you noticed? Everything is fear-based. Everything's fear-based, right? I mean, It's just like if you could. It's just like if you could crank the horn, the siren, the what do you call it thing? The you know that the air raid. Thank you. There you go. Crank that air raid siren. It's and it's kept it going all the time because, man, they're coming. They're going to drop bombs on your house any minute. My God, the world's coming to pieces. You know, Chicken Little, the sky is falling. My God, everything's bad. There ain't nothing good nowhere. Am I right? And all the devil wants to do is get you into doubt and unbelief and believing and biting into that, that God can't move. He can't do miracles. He's out of the miracle working business. Heaven has packed up its shop and gone. That we're just left to whatever. No hope. Right? Am I right? Ain't nothing positive going on. Nobody's talking about anything positive. Everything is, man. Just somebody's pulled the cart and, man, it's just all going right down. And but see, here's a testimony of in the midst of darkness, some light coming through. You see, folks have got to remember, what are we all about? What's life all about? What is the whole purpose of our existence? Man, I want to tell you something. I don't know what yours is, but mine is blazing through the gates, the pearly gates of heaven. I'm passing through here, man. This is not where I'm staying. I want to be a hero of heaven. I don't care about being a hero on earth. I want to be a hero in heaven. I want to blaze through the gates, man. I want to get into glory. I want to slide down the streets of gold in my socks. I want to see the cattle on 1,000 hills. I want to walk through the lush grass with Jesus. And this whole world and all it's spinning out and all these things are doing right now is just causing everybody to freak out. And I'm telling you, it's the devil trying to get people to perish because they don't trust and believe in God. Now, I want to read on. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. Least. Everybody say least. Now, come on. Somebody here tell me, what does least mean in that text? What does least mean? Doesn't mean a little. It means something else. Come on. What? Right? So if you're going to put it this way, you say, whose mind the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, unless, right? So the not believing causes you to be blinded and keeps out the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now, this is good. Listen, I'm going to show you something here in just a minute that is good. Real good. But you got to think, you got to stop here just for a minute. Look at this. When the devil comes into your life, listen to me, whatever's going on, whatever's happening, you know, whatever, big, little, small, great, whatever, whatever's coming into your life, the first thing that he's trying to get you to do is to get in doubt and unbelief. Because when you're in doubt and unbelief, you're going to perish. But when you're in faith, the moment you trigger faith in your life, the moment you're looking to God as your source and your resource and the restorer of your soul and the blessed, the moment you cross over that line into his deal, the light of the gospel, okay, but the word gospel means good news. That's all it means is good news. I mean, that's a lot, but it means good news. So it says, the moment you get into faith, the good news of the glory of Christ the glory of God is going to shine on you. All right? Now, when you hear that, you get the, I meant to bring a flashlight with me tonight, but you get the thinking of, if y'all can imagine this, that I've got the flashlight and I'm God and I click it and then the light beam comes out and hits you over there, right? And just stay with me on this. This is good. And so many times we're like this, looking up. You know, I'm believing you, God. Just hit me with a light beam. You know, whoosh, you know, glory. I need the glory of God to hit me. And so we're praying and looking up, praying, looking up, praying, looking up. Come on, hit me the light beam. Hit me the light beam. Now look at this. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and yourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Now, verse 6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Okay, hold your finger there. Go to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. What was on the face of the deep? All right? So there's darkness on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Where'd the light come from? Okay, hold your finger there and go back over to 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. The light came out of darkness. See, God don't need no light to shine. He is everything. So even in the midst of darkness, He made light come out of darkness. See, our mind said, well, how in the world is that? That can't be. How can light shine out of darkness? Just think about this. God created everything. He made everything. In the midst of your darkness, of your trouble, or whatever's going on through that's troubling your soul, right in the midst of your darkness, God didn't have to go get him some light to shine into your darkness. He didn't have to, from heaven, turn on the flashlight down in there. Right in the midst of the darkness within in the soul of your life, he wants to just go and shine, bring forth light. Bring forth a revelation of Jesus Christ in your life at that moment, right where you're sitting in the midst of darkness. He doesn't need to bring something from heaven down into you. He doesn't. You don't produce faith, and then all of a sudden, something from heaven comes floating down, and you're like outside and saying, what is that? It looks like there's something coming through the air. No, it hits you, and all of a sudden, you got the revelation. Tracy, flip up Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. If when we're in darkness and we're in despair and our souls are troubled, and we're saying, oh, my God, what are you going to do? How are you going to do this? How are you going to pull this thing? And, oh, my God, come on, God, you got to do something. It says, now him who is able, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Well, wait a minute. If there's power working on the inside of us in darkness, it's just trying to come on us because the devil's trying to blind us to keep us from believing the truth that's already in us. And you've already been saved and the glory of God's already on the inside of you. And the darkness is trying to cover it up. All he's trying to do is get you to have a revelation of who Jesus is in the midst of your dark hour. So then, push, the light breaks forth in you and the darkness is dispelled. So instead of having to get something to come from heaven to earth, it's already in you. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. There ain't nothing in me, man. I tell you, our God, I'm just depressed and discouraged and despaired. And I'm in the darkness all over my life. It don't make any difference. God will break forth light right in the midst of your darkness. That power that works on the inside of you, you're not trying to get something, get from heaven to earth to come into your life. It's already in you. He just wants to have this explosion of light come on the inside of you. And when that light comes in you, then darkness has to be dispelled because darkness cannot, no matter how dark the darkness is, it can't cover light. Darkness can never overtake light. You put a candle on a room, as long as that baby's burning, darkness, no matter how dark the night is, the moon's not full, there's nothing out there, darkness, it cannot overcome the light. Right? As long as there's light, darkness can overcome it. But God said he made, according to 2 Corinthians 4 there, he made light come from darkness. That's what I love about God. You know, just about the time you think you got him all figured out, he throws something out like this and says, oh, I can make light come out of darkness. You're like, how do you do that? Darkness is dark. Light's light. How do you make darkness? How do you make light come out of darkness? And it's no big deal to him. I don't understand it all. I just understand what he's saying. See, no matter how dark it is in your situation, the devil's just trying to get you. Listen, oh my gosh, if you could just realize that it's like, it's like if, you know, the devil can convince you you're a million miles away from your blessing when all of a sudden the lights turn on in the room and you're standing on it. Right? That's what he's saying here. He makes you feel like you're a million miles from your blessing and the lights flicked on and boom, you're there. You're standing in the midst of glory, surrounded by all this stuff that you didn't even realize you had. And it was already in you. And what's in you is the glory of God. It's in you. What's in you is that ability to have a revelation of Jesus Christ. And the moment you have that revelation in your life, darkness is gone. So the first thing that you need to understand about when Jesus wants to come and restore your soul, it doesn't make any difference how depraved your soul may be. Light can just come forth in it and it's gone. There's no darkness that you could be involved in that he couldn't call light out of that darkness if you just believe. It's just destroyed in your brain. It's taken complete, your soul's healed, and you're like, ah, wow, that's cool. Didn't know you could do that one, Lord. Because see, you finally got into faith. And when you get into faith, there's all possibilities. There's nothing that can't be done. But we try to make this, we try to, I don't know if this is proper to say it like this, but we try to hyper-spiritualize everything to where we make it so difficult that it's really like unobtainable. Have you ever seen, you know, I haven't studied a whole lot about the Muslim religion, but you know, it's every so many years, I don't remember, maybe one of y'all know, every 10 years, 12 years, something that they have to go to Mecca and they have to walk around that, what do they call that thing? It's not the Dome of the Rock, but where that big block, square block is and everybody has to get in, then you have to go around that thing so many times. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You ever seen that? I've seen aerial shots of it, and it's like a zillion ants, you know, because everybody's just down there shoulder to shoulder, and I don't know if they're praying or chanting or whatever they do, but they have to walk around this rectangle cube that's real big and tall in the middle of this big area, and they have to walk around it, you know, so many times to have completed their journey to Mecca that they've made, you know, they've done this, their pilgrimage that they've done. And it's just like a zillion ants. And everybody's just kind of shoulder to shoulder like this, just kind of walking because, you know, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of people in that spot. But they have to do that in order to obtain their position in righteousness. And that's sometimes what we Christians want to do. We want to make things so difficult. And we want to make it so complicated. And so even our minds and our warped souls want to create this environment that gets to be so complicated to try to have anything from heaven in our lives because we're not worthy. We're not good enough. We just did this or that or the other, whatever. And so we really put ourselves on that track and say, oh, if I can just make it around the block, you know, I mean, I'll be okay. And we're just out there trying to, you know, doing this and, oh, Lord, I'm just believing you and believing you and believing you. But the truth is we're not really operating in faith. We're just operating in works. Because it's real simple. When God said, let there be light, there was light. There was no struggle. There was no fighting and wrestling, and gosh, it was almost light, and then it flickered, it went out, and right? It's completely, can you just imagine this scene? The earth is completely void of anything good. And God says, light be, boom, lights turned on. That's how easy he wants to move in our life to restore our souls. If we'll just have faith in him. If we'll just totally, completely have faith in him, say, Lord, I'm trusting you. You're going to do this. Then he just wants to give you the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life. Now look at this. Go back over, if you would, to the 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 7. But we have, everybody say, but we. But we have. Everybody say, but we have. That means you're not trying to get, it's not going to come when you finally have arrived to the 14th pinnacle of the faith of believing of the 32nd degree of Christianity. You've finally arrived and now you have obtained. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's the treasure? The glory of God or Jesus, the power of God within us, that what he's talking about in Ephesians 3:20, that power that's contained within us because we've believed in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. However you want to say it, the glory of God. We usually think about I'm going to do a teaching on the glory of God. Because you can go throughout the scriptures and you can look at it. There's a lot of different times that there's the differences for the glory of God. Sometimes the glory of God fell and everybody was killed. Sometimes the glory of God fell and everybody fell down and worshiped. You know, sometimes the glory of God came and there was revelation. But in this instance, he's saying, man, the glory of God is God in Christ that now lives and dwells within us. It's this treasure. Folks, listen to me. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how much can be taken from you, it can't get Jesus out of you. Kill me, send me to heaven, I don't care. As long as there's breath in my lungs, as long as I can believe God, as long as I can speak, man, whatever's been removed can be replaced. Right? Look here. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Now look at verse 8. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. I got to read this to you. This is I found another translation that I really like. It says, we're hard-pressed, but we're not suffocated. Now, when I saw that, actually, it was alluding to that these are wrestling terms. When Paul was talking like this, like, you know, like the wrestling, not like whatever the wrestling is. Yeah, but the real, you know, like they used to do the Greco-Roman wrestling kind of thing, all right? We're hard-pressed. In other words, you got your face shoved down in the mat, but you have not been suffocated. Have you ever felt like that? When I read that, I said, my God, I've been there. Hard-pressed, but I wasn't suffocated. I wasn't completely snuffed out. There was still a move in me. Huh? The next one says, the second one says, puzzled, but not utterly baffled. I love that. I'm like, yeah, sometimes in life I don't quite understand what's going on, but, you know, I'm not completely in disarray. I'm not completely baffled about it. I mean, I don't quite understand, but it's okay. It's going to be all right. Let's just go. You been there? The third one, it says, pursued, but not caught. Right? You say, well, the devil's chasing me. Well, if he ain't got you, you're okay. Right? Pursued, but you're not caught. Think about that. You can be pursued and enjoy the scenery. Right? See, we get all freaked out. Oh, my God, he's after me, he's after me. Well, just enjoy the scenery. He ain't going to catch you. Just look at the trees. All right? Now, this last one, we're struck down, but we're not out of the fight. Now, I like that one, you know. This may be more than a 15-rounder I'm in, and I might got knocked down, but that didn't mean the fight's over with. If I get up after the eight, before the 8 seconds, I'm okay. You may knock me down, but I'm going to get back up. And it's this attitude that Paul had. And I don't know if he'd been to a wrestling match and he saw this and he wrote it all up like this or what the deal was. But he said, look, guys, I got this treasure in me. I got this treasure that's in me. It's contained within me. It's called the glory of God, Jesus Christ. It's the living God, the Spirit of God, however you want to say it. It's in me. And the devil just wants me not to believe in him. But when I do believe in him, then whatever's coming upon me, whatever's hard pressing me, it ain't going to suffocate me, and I'm going to be okay. Whatever's got me puzzled, it's okay. I'm not really baffled. I will get it figured out. Whatever is pursuing me, it's okay because he ain't going to catch me. And when I'm struck down, the fight's not over. Light is about to break forth in my darkness, and everything's going to be okay. That's what Paul was saying. He said, man, I have the two greatest things in this world, faith and this treasure within me. Now, folks, we all got that. Each and every one of you sitting here tonight, everybody listening to me on the radio, you got that within you. You've got those two elements that are already there. Let's not make things more complicated than they need to be. So when you get up in the morning and you start out your day and you say, praise God, man, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Every day of my life, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning and I lay my head to rest, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Lord, I thank you, I'm blessed today. And you walk outside and your tire's flat. You say, man, I'm pressed down, but I'm not suffocated. Lord, you're about to break forth some light into my darkness. You see, church, it's all the way we approach it. It's all the way we approach it. And that begins to restore your soul. You may have got knocked down 100 times. Fight's not over. The bell's not rung. The bell's not rung in your life. It's time to turn on the faith. It's time to get your confession out going. I gotta tell you this about my daughter. I went over to the house and I was visiting with her today for a while, and she's just been, you know, she's had, poor thing's been down for 2.5 months in the bed with baby and everything, and can't go do much or anything. And so, but I just been feeding her ever one of my gold nuggets books of faith and whatever. Just been, she's been reading. So she's in there preaching to me today. Tearing it up, telling me, you know, Dad, I don't understand. I don't understand why people just don't believe God. And I'm just like, excuse me, you're my daughter. I mean, what? And she said, I'm never going to be the same. I'm never going to be the same after these 2.5 months of laying in this bed, reading these books and watching Christian television, and just my faith is so built up, and God has just done such a work in my life, and I understand about faith and confession. She said, I've heard you all my life talk about faith and confession. I've listened to you with all your faith and confession and all. And I said, yeah, that's good, you know. But she said, I never really did confess. I said, I believed, I knew in my heart, but I never really spoke it out of my mouth. And she said, as I've been speaking out of my mouth, my whole life has changed. Everything's changed. My outlook changed. Everything's changed because I've been walking in faith. Now, okay, so she was hard. She was pressed down. She was, you know, but she didn't get suffocated, right? I mean, people have babies normal all the time. And she's been in bed for 2.5 months with a praying father. But man, it's worth it. You see, folks, we always want everything to work out the way we want things to work out, but we can't see the big picture. We can't understand what we've prayed and said, God, I want you to do this or that, and he's really doing it, but he didn't do it the way you thought, and it had to come around a different way, and we didn't see it. And it's just the matter of here's the great apostle Paul saying, look, man, I'm hard-pressed. But you know, fight ain't over. You think this has got me whipped? In a second, God will call light into all the midst of this darkness, and it'll all be gone. Is this what we're going to believe? What are we going to believe? I don't want to perish. I don't want to get hoodwinked. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to get into doubt and unbelief in areas of my life. You can be in full faith over here in one area of your life and be in doubt and unbelief in another area of your life. And I don't want to walk in that. And so, you know, my prayer has just been, hey, Lord, we need to break forth some light down here. I didn't realize I was in unbelief over here or whatever. Come on, Jesus. Fight ain't over. Bell hadn't rung. I hadn't suffocated. May have my face just pressed down to the ground. But I got a move left. May not be too pretty. But I got a move still left in me. Amen? Get my faith and confession going. Look at the person beside you and say, I think you got a move left in you too. Amen? Amen.